Okay, so let's talk a little bit. All you guys have been kind of researching plans and all that kind of thing. And, you know, you're probably right. This probably will not be your final plan that you're running at the end of the year. You're probably going to go home, write another plan based on all the things you thought about here today. And maybe some of these government sources, because government has a lot of really great resources for writing a plan and even just debate some arguments in general that we just kind of want to talk about a little bit today. So we're going to talk about a wide variety of things, from very simple things to more complex things. So anyway, okay, starting out real basic, a resource that every debater should always carry around whenever you're in any round, and especially if you're in the South, you have a copy of the U.S. Constitution. Basic 101 here. Okay, now, kind of a cool thing that I want to show you guys is you can get a copy and a noted copy of the Constitution right here on this little link right here. Yeah, let's see if we can pull this up. Yes, okay, it's working pretty cool. So, you know, the Constitution, we have each article right here, and you can go in here and say, okay, let's say I want to check a little bit out on Article 1 or whatever, and oh boy, look at how you can go through here and say, click on, okay, let's talk about legislative powers. And if you go through here, this has a this has a section right here, section 1, then it has a big article about that with footnotes that can be useful. Now, some people, let's talk about this a little bit. Constitution, everybody kind of carries it around. Some people use it, some people don't use it so well. How is that relevant to a debate round? How can we use information from the Constitution in a debate round? What type of arguments do people like to run using the Constitution? People in the South can appreciate this. Over here, yes.
Federalism
could be an argument that could be brought up with. Yes. Now, explain. Tell us what federalism is again.
All right. So federalism is pretty much like big government, or that's kind of like what it was originally getting as in the U.S. Constitution.
Anybody else want to discuss what federalism is? Somebody else want to give me another kind of explanation of it? Okay. I'm going to say federalism is more talking about the way that power should be divided between. Say like the central government and states and local and state and local governments, and it's kind of more the way that those duties should be segregated. And you can find a good bit of information on that in the Constitution. There's some different theories on that. What's some other type of arguments that you maybe hear about a little bit related to the Constitution? All you Colorado people probably never get to hear this, so maybe you don't necessarily understand the importance of some of this. You might want to do some general research on, yes?
Maybe that something's violating the Constitution.
Violates Constitution. Okay, now, here's an argument you hear a lot of times about with the Constitution. They say, okay, Article 1, Section 8, which lists a whole bunch of things that Congress is allowed to do. And so the negative team will get up and say, well, you know what? But the affirmative team's plan's policy function isn't listed in Article 1, Section 8. You know, and then they'll read maybe some quote from, you know, James Madison or somebody like that. That says that only things that are explicitly enumerated in Article 1, Section 8 are constitutional. So since the AFP plan isn't mentioned there, it's unconstitutional or something like that. You hear that a lot. If you haven't heard that argument before, you probably want to research that because teams like to run that. So this might be a good resource to look at that for, and I'm not going to go into, you know, refutation on that. But anyway, so some points there. So yeah, don't. And also, how many people have a copy of the Constitution they carry into debate rounds? Some people, okay. The reason you want to have this is because a lot of times teams will discuss something in the Constitution and you should probably try to look at their context or something like that. So anyway, okay. Let's talk about another really basic source here. The Federalist. Now we have federalism and we have the Federalist. Somebody want to tell me what the Federalists are? I'll start distributing stuff here. What are the Federalists? As a publication, what are the Federalists?
Is that the Federalist paper?
Federalist Papers. What are the Federalist Papers? Somebody want to tell me what the Federalist Papers are?
James Madison. Volunteer.
What are they about? Over here. Yes.
It's a series of 85 articles.
Ooh, somebody is good at using Google. Somebody is too fast with Google. Okay, well, hey, we got to give you credit for that. So there you go. Okay. Okay. Okay, yeah. Now, with somebody want to tell me, very briefly, some people who wrote the Federalist Papers. Okay, over here. Without a computer. Okay, yeah, you got two of them, so I'll give you two pieces. Anybody want to, let me think. Okay, another one here. Yes.
Alexander
Hamilton. Yes, those are three, people who wrote the Federalist. Okay, now, what kind of information can you find in the Federalist Papers that you might be interested in talking about, discussing? Yes.
founding fathers use on the role of government.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, or at least one part of the founding fathers' view. But a lot of people like to look at that. So here's kind of a neat little link here. You can find one of these links pretty easily, but you might want to check it out. Let me check if this is, the URL is right here. Because that looks really weird, doesn't it? Anybody tried this URL? It works? Okay, I don't know why it is like that. Let me see if I can just type this in right here. Yeah. So Google is working. Okay. Again, that is a really weird looking URL, but let's just try to grab it. Let's just stick that up here now. And you can find one of these pretty easily, but you might just want to have one of, you know, save this link or whatever. Okay, let's go in here. What kind of stuff could we look at here?
Federalism.
Let's go up here. Federalism, well, and you got to think about this too, because federalism as a word probably doesn't occur in here. Let's just talk about power of the presidency, if my search works there. Yeah. I'm hoping this is working good. Okay. Anybody pulling stuff up on that? Try to search for anything? Is it? Okay, so and let's discuss what this is doing right here. This is kind of cool, too. This is using, like, Google. It's using Google as its main search engine, so you can do a catch on that, whatever, pull up all those great search terms there. So, yeah, and that's a good thing to kind of, when teams are discussing what the Constitution means, that can be a good source to kind of check that out. So anyway, just wanted to toss that out there. Okay, let's go into something a little bit more complicated here. Now, how many people, everybody debated last year, right? How many people passed a plan, in your case, what kind of cases were we running last year?
Nuclear,
H-1B, what else? What? PUPs, foreign aid, okay. Did anybody have a actual piece of legislation that they were passing for their plan? Like, our plan is to pass this bill. Anybody do that?
I think Total Edition did that.
Who did that?
Josh and Zach.
That was with the Social Security Totalization?
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if that was actually doing... Well, maybe they sort of were doing that. Yeah. I think that might have actually been more like a treaty, though, so I'm not sure. But a really effective way to write a plan. And for people, I think there may be a couple groups that are still struggling to get their plan advocacy down pat. But a really effective way to write a debate plan, and I've done this probably 3 or 4 times, actually, in the cases that I've written, is to find a pre-existing bill, and your plan is to pass that bill. Now, somebody tell me, why would that be a good idea? Why is passing a pre-existing bill a good idea? Somebody who hasn't volunteered for a second, I'm going to pick on somebody over here. Why don't we pick on you? What do you think? Why might it be a good idea to pass a prior existing bill as your plan?
Because somebody else already has the idea.
And why would that be good?
Because you already have a plan advocate.
You already have a plan advocate. Yes, good job. There you go. Yes, because you already have a plan advocate. Somebody want to add to that?
And if they have passed it, it either has worked or has not worked.
Okay, and this is a bill, we're talking about a bill that hasn't passed.
Oh, okay.
So, now somebody tell me a potential problem with using a plan, a bill, as your plan. Okay, a lot of people here. Yes, Elaine.
Because you asked the question, why was it not passed?
Looking for something a little bit more back here, over here. Yes, tell me over here. Cameron, I'll call on you.
It could be passed.
And there goes your plan. Yep, exactly. So yeah, so let's think about this. And I think this is a good thing to do is when you're thinking about your plan, maybe you kind of know that you want to write a plan on nuclear energy. Maybe you know that you want to write a plan on landfill gas management, however we're doing this team over here. So you're thinking, you know, I want to write a case on this. And, you know, somebody, if they've already written out a plan text, they've done a lot of the hard work for you as far as thinking of some of the problems with passing that type of legislation. That's always a good thing to kind of look for. So let's just talk a little bit about how you do that. As far as like what kind of website you go to. And so everybody, just the website up here is like Tom, good, and I already been messing around a little bit here. So I'm going to Google. So we start over. Go to thomas.loc.gov. Let me write that on the board here real quick. And this is a good place, too, to look if maybe another team that you know of is passing a bill, how you can retrieve that bill. Thomas.libraryofcongress is what that stands for, .gov. Okay, so let's see if we can pull that up here. Thomas.loc.gov. Okay. And it's pretty easy here. So let's see. The bill that I was going to look up, let's get the number right here, H.R. 2454.
You have to look at, oh, you did it by word.
Oh, yeah, probably should put in bill number there. Get it better. Okay. Everybody, if you want to look for this bill real quick, let's just see what we kind of get here. Okay. So you get an information page. You get a quick title on what it's about, who sponsored it, all that kind of stuff. Let's look at really useful information. Okay, my screen here is kind of getting too big on me here. Look at co-sponsors. Now, let me ask you a question. Why would it be important for me to know that Representative Henry A. Waxman sponsored this bill? Somebody who hasn't answered the question in a second. Yes?
Because he would be a plan advocate.
Okay, and why might I be able to use that information? How could I use that information to get evidence? Yes, Caitlin.
He's probably written about it in other places.
Right. He might have given a speech or written about it in another place or written an op-ed in a newspaper. So if I searched on his name and searched on the topic, chances are he's going to come up in reference or maybe even author something on that topic. Yeah. Definitely the sponsor, maybe some of the co-sponsors too on that. Okay, so let's look a little bit at some...
You did that in the past?
Yes.
Did you contact any of the congressmen or the senator's staff to try to get any help from any of them?
No, we really didn't because... And I know a team that I've actually coached last year who did do that. It was a team down in South Carolina, or Georgia and South Carolina, that was doing a plan on... what was the nuclear security plan? CTR.
Was that helpful?
Well, what happened with them is they talked to, and I guess it was Dick Lugar had proposed, Sam Nunn, I think, from Georgia. They were two senators that were really involved in that. So they contacted Sam Nunn and his staff, and they actually their staff actually referred to them to some other experts that were able to help them answer questions that I know is very helpful for them on this. And actually what my team did is they got somebody at the University of Georgia to publish the email correspondence that they got from these people on the website the day before the national tournament, and then they used that as evidence at national. So that was helpful. It gave actually the most useful thing was they basically sent their 1AC to these people over in India who were like some nuclear kind of regulator people, and they were like, this is a horrible idea. These are like 10 reasons why this is not going to work. And it helped them think of, oh, yeah, those are arguments that people could bring up against it. So it was real helpful for them, yeah. And I really don't think their evidence, I don't think they were able to use the evidence too much on the University of Georgia website or anything. But anyway, yeah.
So they got their 1AC critiqued by like nuclear experts in India?
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. I'm not going to disclose. So... But it may or may not be. It may or may not be. Okay, I'm just not going to give the team's name. I will say this though. So you know, you could ask them, but they'll have to tell you. So okay, let's look at some other interesting stuff we can get here on this. This is a really great inherency source here. If you go to, and I think this is right here, all congressional actions. Come on, internet. Okay. Yeah. Okay. This is they've actually, I think, changed this a little bit. Let me see here. This has actually changed a little bit since I was there. I'll go back and see if I can hit another thing on this. Okay. Anybody, is there a click on, like, it says, like, bill status or information? Anybody see that tab? They may have changed that tab. So I think this may be the new version of that. It was down there? Okay, yeah, that's where I want to go. Okay, come on. That actually showed what I was looking for, but I was hoping that I could get... a little bit better. Pretty sure this bill is actually already passed, so that may be why it doesn't show it exactly like that. But actually, you can get, and I think this bill status thing will show it to you good enough. But you can actually see, and this works really well as inherency. If you're using the bill, it'll show you the exact status of the bill, where it is in committee or wherever like that, and you'll be able to say, oh, right here, we printed this off yesterday, updated yesterday. You know, our bill hasn't passed. So anyway, and I want to look at a couple more things on that. And some useful things that you can get on this is the Congressional Research Service, which we'll be talking about a little bit later, has on every bill, they have a little publication that you can get that's available through here that shows cost estimates on the bill. So if you need to figure out, you know, what you can have a professional, you know, kind of agency do your funding there. And also, here it is. We're back here. Okay. Well, I'll show you right here. If you go to CBO, Congressional Budget Office, Congressional Research Service Summary is another thing, but okay, it's actually the Congressional Budget Office. They do cost estimates on legislation, so I mean, you can kind of get some professional funding there. Also, the CRS summary is a good thing to look at as well. That kind of discusses, this is a huge bill. You can get full text there. That shows you what it's about. But this is a pretty useful tool, not only for debate, but just, you know, looking up legislation maybe in your everyday life. So those are things you can find on thomas.locke.gov. Another thing I wanted to show you on this, and I think you saw this earlier, you can search for bills on this, not just by a number, but actually topically. Now, one of the things that I want to make a disclaimer on with government websites in general is I am not very happy with some of their search, some of their, I guess, internal logic on some of their searches. Generally, you do have to use some of the, like, Boolean operators, so they don't type in, like, environmental policy, landfill management, because it'll look for that exact phrase. So you're probably going to need to type in some pretty, like, one-word kind of searches, or it's the easiest way, or you can maybe go with some things like some or environment or policy, environment or landfills, environment and landfills, those kind of things. But it can really kind of mess some stuff up. Why don't you see if you can find maybe a piece of legislation on the topic that your team is researching. Let's just do that for like 5 minutes. I don't know how that's going to work as far as the internet here. But if it doesn't, we'll move on and terminate exercises.
On our case, on the topic of our case.
If your case is on landfill management, I want you to find a bill or something that has to do with landfill management that maybe you could think about looking at. And if you're doing CAFE, find me a bill maybe on reducing CAFE. Has somebody proposed a bill?
I've got a bill on CAFE.
See if you can find a bill on somebody who wants to reduce CAFE. That might be a good, and work with somebody else if you don't have a computer. See what you can do. See what you can do. Work with somebody on your team, maybe. Yeah. If you found something, see it. Well, let's see. What are you guys doing on smoking ban?
Single-use carry-out bags.
Single-use carry-out bags. You can just check it out. That's good. See if there's anything. See how specific you can get a plan. If a team can find me a bill that does their plan, that'll be like major bonus points. So see how close you can find a bill to actually the plan you're thinking about doing.
Negative side of our plan.
Okay, find one on your positive side of your plan.
That's the only one that came.
Does a testimony before Congress count?
We'll talk. No, I want you to try to find bills now. Okay. We'll talk about congressional testimony in a second. Are you on? And you go to like what network?
It's not working.
One article on CAFE on the whole site.
You're probably not doing the right search on that, because I guarantee you there's probably more bills than one on CAFE.
Maybe,
and this is one of the things, this is kind of what I want you to fill out, is on a lot of the search things, you may need to actually spell out the acronym to do the search. Just check on that. Yes?
Well, I'm not the one that's going to Congress, but ours is slightly different.
Uh-huh.
Just the amount of tax. Is that what you wanted?
Yeah, that looks pretty good. Yeah. Let's see here. Yeah. What's the status of that? Like, is it, what committee is it in? Go, stay on this. I think if you go up, bill summary and status right there. That just took you right back there?
Yeah, all congressional actions.
Yeah, go to all congressional actions. Yeah, that's what I'm looking for. And so that was, so that has not been passed. It's the sponsor has made an introductory remark. It's been referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. It's been referred to the House Ways and Means Committee, but it hasn't been passed. Yeah. So that would be good inherency stuff. Yeah, okay. Good job. Yeah, looks like that's what we're looking for. How are you guys doing?
On EPA upping regulations.
Matt, I found one on their case. On actually, it's actually specific to their case.
Okay, has everybody kind of found something? Let's try to maybe wrap this up, because I think a lot of people are having internet problems. Okay, anybody found something really interesting they want to discuss real quick? Okay, you found yours?
No, I found.
What? How close to your case?
Well, it's different. Like, it's a smaller tax number.
Yeah.
We already knew about it before.
Okay.
Smaller tax and with refund options.
Okay.
It's similar.
And like the way that you guys might want to use that is you might want to go into like all congressional actions, and it'll show like the status of the bill, so you can have an automatic inherency takeout to say, yesterday before the tournament, we printed out the bill summary status, and it shows that it's in committee. Been in committee for the last 3 months, you know, the bill's not going to pass, or it hasn't passed. Pass our plan now. So, yeah. Anybody else kind of found their plan or something interesting related to that? I know I saw some over here, but we'll move on. Yeah, you kind of found it. Okay, yeah. Probably didn't find your exact plan. Maybe found something close to it. And kind of a good kind of lesson here, I think, about with some teams. Some teams have done pretty good on coming up with their plans, but let's talk a little bit of, just about kind of the research process in general here. One thing that I would recommend in the future when you're selecting a plan, and we tried to kind of give you guys like 30 minutes or so to kind of look through ideas. When you're thinking about writing a plan, what do you think is the most difficult part of the plan to find evidence on? Somebody want to give me a kind of a thought on that? Yes.
The advantages?
Yes. And what would be a stock issue kind of associated with that?
Solvency.
Believe me, probably on my research, I probably spend 75% of my research time when I write a case, and this is for the Blue Book or anything else, working on the solvency and the advantages, because that is very difficult evidence sometimes to find because it needs to be so specific to your case. So it is much easier when you're thinking about writing a case or selecting a case to find maybe like a white paper or an advocate or a solvency article in your case and then, you know, figure out what the harms are or something like that, as opposed to selecting an issue like that and say, oh, we'll just figure out how to solve it. Yeah, you may find a plan advocate, and on some really broad issues, I guarantee you will find plan advocates and white papers and ideas, but it's a lot easier to start with the initial idea of what's the plan, what's the solvency, what are the advantages, those kind of things, and kind of work backwards just because it's so difficult to find that information. So this can be a way to find it. Again, if you have a bill, you will have some great advantage evidence in some of the congressional testimony that you can pull out, which we'll be talking about how to look at a little bit later here. Okay, so let's move on here. Okay, we're going to talk about a little bit about finding testimony in hearings. Now, let's go back here. Somebody tell me why you think that congressional testimony or hearings could be a good source of evidence, couple or a bad source of evidence. Yes, and
there's a huge dispute about the congressional testimony of Bill Gates last year with Legion B visas. You know,
okay.
Everybody running it thought it was fantastic. Everybody not running it thought that it was, you know, the worst thing, and how incredibly biased it was.
So it was like a biased issue. Yeah, okay. And that's because sometimes, like, somebody who maybe is involved with an issue is invited to testify before Congress on an issue. Okay, yeah, good job. Okay, here you go. And Mr. Sparks mentioned something earlier in his lecture, I think this morning, about congressional testimony. Somebody that can tell me what that is, and I'll hopefully get him right here. It's like a disadvantage of using it. I think maybe I'll give you some candy for that. Anybody remember that? I think Mr. Sparks said that, yeah.
They're very dull, boring.
They can maybe be something. I think that might have been an exact quote. So good job. Okay, there you go. Yes, and that's relevant, okay? But yeah, that's what Mr. Sparks said. And I sort of agree with that, yeah. Now, somebody else. This is kind of obvious, or maybe the bigger issue I'm looking for here. Why is this a good source to find evidence? Shane, yes.
Well, they're under oath, and it's an official testimony, right?
Okay, yeah. But if I'm professor from Harvard University in environmental policy, yeah. Am I going to tell a lie about what I believe about it landfill regulation?
But that's the point. They bring the argument, aren't going to tell lies.
Okay, maybe. Okay, this is big. What in congressional testimony, committee says, hey, we're going to have a hearing on this. Who do they call in? Yeah.
Oh, I'm not
raising
my hand, sorry.
You got an idea? Come on.
I was trying to get internet so I could actually go.
So that was like the antenna like this? Okay, good deal. Somebody else? Okay, Elaine.
Because they're experts.
Okay. Generally, okay, people are kind of missing what I was thinking is the big one. The big one that I'm thinking of is when a congressional committee calls people in to testify, they generally call people on from both sides of the issue. If they want to have a congressional testimony or a hearing on global warming, they're going to call people in who they believe support global warming, and they're going to call people in who they believe oppose global warming or something like that. So if you're having, you know, if you're, and that may be a good source for you with an issue that seems like there's no negative angle to it or not a specific angle that you can find somebody who says something about it in a congressional hearing, even if it's dated, even if it's from 1991 or 1992 or something like that, that maybe gives you ideas to springboard off of on your research. Or it may give you a name that you can look up that maybe they've said something more recently. So yeah, I think that's what I said on my slide. Great place for evidence, generally pro and con, and through experts. Now, let's talk a little bit. Now, one of my favorite ways to generally look for information that maybe a congressman is saying or that isn't a congressional committee or something is maybe a little bit through, I don't know if it's a back door or not, but I'm a big believer in Google. If I was going to look for a hearing, I guess one way would be to go through like the actual committee that this would be under. But what I generally would probably do is if you do a search on the House website, which I think is you do real easily through Google here. Again, one of the reasons I'm not going to the House website to search for this is because I don't really like the way the House website searches for terms. Now, one of the when we talk about a little bit later about looking through maybe U.S. code or like the Congressional Record or something like that, or through the Library of Congress, you can't necessarily use Google as a backdoor in there because some of those aren't registered in Google's database until they're actually, unless they were like viewed in like the last 30 days. But let's look for a hearing here on CAFE. If I can't find a hearing on CAFE, we're going to be in trouble. Okay. House Committee on Energy and Commerce, Democrats. These are definitely people that looks like that they are maybe not hearings on CAFE, but definitely hearings that reference CAFE. Yeah, Committee on whatever that CNGRP, that's some misspellings there or something. But yeah, it's all these, okay, yeah, the first hearing on corporate average fuel economy, this is from 2006. The team that's researching that might want to go check that hearing out. These are going to take a long time to load. But you can see, like, actually, or you could do a little bit more of a specific search, because you can see, like, we're pulling up hits from the energy, the archives, actually, of the Energy Commerce House Committee right there, Energy and Commerce Committee of the U.S. House. So you could actually narrow your search to do a site : energycommerce.house.gov, and you could do a big search on their website that could potentially be kind of get you some good results there. Another way that you could do this, if you kind of knew what you were looking for, is you can maybe go to one of the actual committee's websites here. Let's see if we can pull that up here. I'm not sure which committee I pasted on here. And generally, they'll have a listing of hearings on the site. Okay, well, you can find these House committees. This is going to be a list of committees. Okay, so if you want to go to, this is like a, you could Google this, I'm sure, but this is a list of all of tons of congressional committees. A lot of environmental stuff will probably be under energy and commerce. Let's see what else. Science and technology might have some interesting testimony that you might want to get. Joint Economic Committee generally has a ton of stuff on any resolution. Let's just say let's go to the energy and commerce site right here. Actually, this looks like some of the EIAs. Anybody know what the EIA stands for? We've done some research, thinks people will use them. EIA stands for what? Energy Information Administration. Hear them a lot quoted. Okay, so you can see their analysis right up here on publication. See if we could actually get hearings up here. Oh, see right here, they have a list of hearings. You can see all their little, okay, Energy and the Environment, subcommittees from hearings on the Subcommittee on Energy and the Environment.
Go back to your page so you can get those links.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I would say really the one you want to get down is that list. And I think I maybe had a list of Senate subcommittees on another page, but yeah. You could probably Google that and get that, but yeah. So we see a list of hearings here. Future of the grid, proposals for reforming national transmission policy, allowances, allocation policies on climate legislation, the American Clean Energy and Security Act, cap and trade. Boy, they have a lot of testimony in cap and trade. So, and you see they have several pages, and this is all recent. This is probably in like the most recent Congress. That it's going to be having information there on. So yeah, and also the committee has some publications as well that could be interesting. So let's just go back. And this is another thing too. When you quote a congressman in a round, the fact that he's a congressman gives him maybe some level of credibility. But a way to break that down and show a little bit more credibility on that source is to look at the committees he's from. Like if you actually go to his website, look at his bio, say, hey, we have, you know, Senator Jim DeMint, and I'm not exactly sure which committees he's on. Let's say he's on the committee for, you know, he's on the Defense Committee or something like that, the Committee or Committee on Energy and Commerce. And you can say that use that as like a qualification for a congressman or something like that. And I would, again, some of these congressmen especially, and congressmen I'm talking about, House of Representatives, they are not necessarily, they're good debate sources for debate evidence because they're seen to be credible. But most of these people generally don't know so much what they're necessarily talking about on some of these issues. So I'll just throw that caveat out there. If somebody quotes a congressman, doesn't necessarily mean that you accept it as the gospel truth. Okay, this is the list of House committee websites if you want to grab that link there. www.house.gov/house/committee, www.shtml. And let's see, I think I'll have that on the slide as well. Okay, actually I'm going to go here and grab my Senate committee list. I think this is a list. I'm not sure whether this is a list of Senate committees, but I think it might be. I'm going to try to grab that. And let me ask you this. Are you going to get more evidence, do you think, on the House website or on the Senate website? Yes.
House?
Why?
Because it's bigger?
Yes, that's what I would say. Yeah, because there's more members of Congress, 500-something, as opposed to 100 senators. There's going to be more people saying more stuff on different issues that potentially could give you more evidence.
But
yes?
Would you say that the Senate's more credible as a source, though?
On the hearings, probably not so much. The hearings are probably going to be roughly equal. I would say, I don't know, I think a senator and a representative are about equal. But yeah, that may be true as well. But as far as actually finding material here. So do we have questions? Yes?
Well, also would be another reason, because the House, everything has to go through the House before it can get to the Senate. So you would have a lot more.
Well, I don't think everything has to go through the House. Spending bills have to go through the House. Other things can originate in the Senate, though. So that's partially true. I believe that's correct. Mr. Sparks, do you have something you want to say?
One of the things about credibility when it comes to politicians, I think, is the election cycle. And because the senators are elected every 6 years, and congressmen are always running for office. It's like a journalist publishes something, the more provocative the headline, the more it's going to get published. So they might say things that are flamboyant, and which sounds really good in the power tag article. Isn't that wonderful? But it's overstating its point because it wants to get published because he wants to sell an article. And the congressman may do the same thing, especially if it's environmental policy or something that's in the news, because he wants to get reelected.
Yeah.
Kind of like putting our local congressman before, Tom Tancredo, on illegal immigration. He'd say all kinds of flamboyant stuff because he's running for office, but it wasn't necessarily credible.
Right. And that's a good thing to think about, too, when you're up against somebody who reads a congressman. You're like, whoa, U.S. congressman said that. Well, it doesn't necessarily mean they know what they're talking about, or they're credible, or that they're backed by evidence. Again, that goes back to, if somebody says, illegal immigrants destroy the economy, what is that piece of evidence missing? If the quote says, illegal immigration destroys the economy, what are we missing in that quote? That's a good major important part of a piece of evidence. I think I saw Shane's hand up first. Does not have a warrant. Yes. That's one of the keys of a good piece of evidence, is that it has a warrant explaining that's to... Okay, good job. Yeah, it doesn't have a warrant explaining why it's true. And that's what you should always be looking for when you're looking for good debate evidence. Does it explain why it's true, or does it just make a statement?